Good morning, everyone. I hope we're all having a great day today. I think you're really going to love today's story. It's one that could possibly give us a little bit more insight into this mysterious town we live in. John is our guest today, so let's hear what he's got to say. First, let's have a word from our sponsor.
Thank you so much for having me. This story takes place about a year and some weeks ago. One thing that you have to know in order for me to tell this story are about my three best friends, Jamie, Matt, and Mark. I think the reason why we're all such good friends is because we have the same hobby in common. We're all splunkers. If you're not sure what a splunker is somebody who likes to explore caves. But not just any caves. Mostly tight, compact, and claustrophobic caves. Oftentimes we find ourselves stuck in a cave at least a mile below the ground, and we have to remain calm and get ourselves out. My friends and I love our hobby so much that we even came up with a group name in our texts. In case you're wondering what our group name is called, it's a whole lot of love. We usually post videos or pictures of caves we explore with either ourselves or other friends. This story took place with a text from Jamie. She told us that she got in touch with one of her friends. I'll get into him a little bit later. But what she was saying is that one of her great friends, who is also a cave explorer, came across a new hole in one of the caves we explored. It wasn't there, and we think that it was because of some earthquake. Her friend's name is Caveman. For those of you who aren't from Werrytown, there's kind of a local legend in the splunking, survivalist, and even homeless community. His name is Caveman, and he spent some time in a war, and when he came back, he devoted his life to peace. He sold everything and went to the forest and caves to live, and he travels from cave site to cave site. He knows how to make a fire, hunt, cook, which berries to eat, which plants to stay away from, all that stuff. He hangs out with other cave explorers and urban explorers. And he's known for knowing some of the best spots, and he'll happily take you to some of the most intimidating places you've ever been. He's known as somewhat of a daredevil, but he's extremely helpful in exploring. All he asks for is payment for each exploration. When I say payment, I mean like food, hygienic equipment, personal hygiene stuff, even a few bucks. He's a chill dude though. We were driving up the side of the mountain in Matt's blue Honda. Jamie was in the passenger seat and she was getting her GoPro ready and everything. So Mark and myself were just in the back seat. But we didn't mind, it was pretty spacious. We were just looking out the windows and looking at the nature. It was really beautiful, and the fact that it was still around winter time, but close to the end of winter time, made it so that there was a nice bed of snow on the ground and on some of the trees, but it wasn't really that cold, it wasn't snowing. Yo, Jamie, you sure that Caveman knows this place well enough for him to start showing us? I mean, didn't he just discover it like 2 days ago? Mark barked from the back. Yeah, dude, my dad and Caveman go way back. I even know Caveman's real name. Really? What is it? Dude, I can't tell you. That's a total breach of confidentiality, Jamie replied. We finally got to the parking spot and we pulled over. We were getting out of the car and first thing we did was just start stretching. Something about stretching in the cold, brisk air and kind of getting your lungs full of that air is just so refreshing. Are y'all ready to get walking the rest of the way? Jamie said enthusiastically. Depends, you got that GoPro ready, Scribe? Matt said. We had this joke where we called Jamie the Scribe. She's always recording her explorations and she's known for visiting a cave multiple times in a row, even day after day, just to kind of get new information about the cave. If there's something that kind of interests her, she'll go back and try to document it. Of course, Jamie said. We began walking the rest of the way up the mountain, and it was pretty fun. We were making snowballs and throwing snowballs at each other, And at some point, I could tell everybody was getting jealous when I poured out my snow cone strawberry syrup and poured it on a snowball and then began eating it. They judged me really hard, but at the end of the day, I was still the one with the strawberry delicious treat in my stomach. As we were walking, we saw a caveman waving us down about 40 feet away, so we started waving at him back and continued walking on over to him. He's this guy who has this large gray backpack, and he's got this dusty black shirt, these dusty brown jeans or Dickies, and he's got what only I can describe as dad shoes on. I don't know the name of the brand, it's just every dad seems to have a pair of these shoes. He's always this happy-go-lucky guy, and even though he's missing a few teeth, he's got an award-winning smile. He's a little bit older, probably around late 40s, early 50s, but he's got the personality of a teenager. He's one of those type of people that can vibe with any group he's in. We got up to him and we greeted him. Jamie gave him a few rolled up fives with a joint and a lighter in the center of it. Matt gave him a bag of pre-made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Mark gave him a pack of brand new underwear, and I gave him a 10. Caveman smiled and directed us where we're going. As we were walking up the mountain still, Mark said that he accidentally forgot one of his flashlights in the car. It was no big deal because we had spare flashlights anyway, and we always use this type of flashlight that you could put on your head. But where was the fun in that? We always loved to kind of tease each other for forgetting things. So we just pelted him with snowballs, and even Caveman joined in on it.
Well, we're here,
Caveman said way too enthusiastically as he had his arms spread out. There's an old wooden bridge that has a metal railing that leads to the broken barred off entrance of the mines. The wooden bridge is not safe looking at all, and the wood still looks like it's falling apart even to this day. The metal railings look rusted and like some of them even snapped at some point. The bridge is only 10 feet long, but hangs over a 2-mile-high fall. Next to it, if you turn to your right, you'd see an old abandoned factory of some sort. Not a large one, it could only fit about 20 people, but that's where some hangar was or something. I'm not a historian.
Yep, looks just the same as it did a month ago, Mark said.
You don't say that every time you find a cave. These are Mother Nature's original homes for us. We should be grateful,
Caveman said. Ugh, I hate this walk of death, I said. The way that you enter into these mines is you have to be careful of the bridge. So in order to get past it, you have to go on the railings of the bridge. And the railings of the bridge are made out of wood and a little bit of metal. But essentially what you want to do is you want to hold on to the railing as well as put your feet on the railing too. That way, if, God forbid, but if the footing were to snap, you'd still be holding on to the railing. So that was the only real safe way to get into these mines. But we all got in, and we took some time to get our gear out. Even Caveman had a light that he would fasten to his head whenever he would go exploring in caves. So all of us kind of grabbed out our gear, and Mark asked, "So wait, why do they call this Earthstar Cave again?" Jamie replied, "Because when they first came up here to explore the caves, they would shine lights inside of the caves. And once they shine the lights would illuminate and reflect off of all the precious metals and gems that this cave really had. And some of the earliest explorers would say that the amount of light that reflected back at them because of all the precious metals and gems was so much that they described it as being a star. So they named it Earthstar Mines or Earthstar Cave.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Not really a star anymore though, unfortunately. Wish I could have taken some of these metals and stones home, Matt said.
Hey, caveman, where do you say this new entrance is again? Mark asked.
Oh, the third floor of the mines. I think there was another earthquake that opened up a new tunnel or something.
We've been in this cave enough to know exactly where caveman is talking about. So we started making our way to the abandoned elevator shaft. I'll get to that a little bit later, but as we're walking, we're passing by all these abandoned things. I'm talking about abandoned carts where they used to put gems and metals into, clothes, even wooden ladders. But as we're walking, there's something peaceful about it. Yeah, it's an abandoned mine, but at the same time, it's as if history just kind of stayed in one place. Wow, this is so beautiful, Jamie said. I bet you get a real sense of safety from sleeping in here at night. Like, nothing can harm you. They have to pass that weird bridge. Am I right, caveman?
Yeah, no one really sleeps in the mines too much.
Really?
Yeah, just too weird, you know? Some people will tell you that they've heard sounds and seen lights from the inside of the mines.
Huh, how's that? Jamie asked in wonder.
I don't know. Just like old wives tales for homeless.
That's strange, though, Jamie said as she kept picking. Just the mines, or like...
Yeah, but come on, let's not talk about gloomy things. Look at this beautiful moment. Just friends with friends and having fun.
We were walking and eventually got to the old elevator shaft. Now, at the time it was created, it was considered to be really sturdy and amazingly safe, and even considered top of the line. Although, in present day, looking back, we now know that not only was it a really horrible, unorganized pulley system, but even for the time that it was created, they were still kind of using what was considered primitive technology at the time. They really didn't invest too much into the elevator shaft. We assume that the reason why this is because they were just trying to cut corners and buy stuff that was more essential and thought, you know what, there's never going to be an issue. We can put little money into the elevator shaft, and that's exactly what they did. And unfortunately, when an earthquake did hit the mines, the elevator shaft was one of the first things to go. So we had to get down to the third floor. The second floor didn't really have much to offer that the first floor didn't already offer. And the third floor itself was still in construction, I guess you can say. So there already really wasn't that much on the third floor either. But we had to get down to the third floor. And so we went to the demolished elevator shaft. And we had to look around. When you're looking at the rubble, you really have to have a keen eye with this, or else you're going to get yourself stuck. But there are these little holes throughout the rubble that have been made by other cave divers that have come before us. And you have to either go in first and have somebody throw your pack down, or you have to throw your pack in those holes and then get down in those holes too. But you have to be really careful when you're climbing down, because you don't want to get stuck in the rubble. You don't want it to, you don't want to hit a loose rock and have it come down on you. So you really have to be careful with this, because all these rocks are just initially set. They've just been here so long that they've set. So one wrong move and you can possibly not only kill yourself, but also the people who are with you. So we had to throw our packs in and then one by one climb in. And the rule of thumb is that we would wait for the other person to kind of disappear and be out of sight before we kind of threw our pack into a different hole, or even sometimes the same hole, just kind of depending on how we were feeling at the time. But we did this for around 30 minutes to get down to the third floor. And it was just nonstop doing this. We had to go really slow, but 30 minutes passed by and we finally got down to the third floor. Now, once we touched down on the third floor, we had two options. We can go left or we can go right. Now, keep in mind that the third floor isn't as developed as the upper two. So it's not as big as the second floor, and it's nowhere close to being as big as the first floor. If we went left, then we'd be going to where the miners were working when the earthquake happened. Although, I have to warn you, it's a pretty grim and gruesome scene. You see blood-stained rocks, And it just paints a horrible picture. You get a picture of where some rocks killed some of the miners upon impact. Some rocks that fell pinned some of the miners down and they just ended up succumbing to their injuries. Or you get the miners who were not harmed at all and just had to wait it out. Although, again, like I said, it's not a very pretty scene. When the mine collapsed, there really wasn't a way to get to those miners, and a lot of them had to resort to cannibalism. So, again, if you do go down the left side, just be careful. Although, if you go down the right side, after about 2 minutes or so, you'll come across a dead end. So that's where we're trying to go. So we just went right. As we went right, we eventually came on to this hole that was around a foot in diameter. "That's the hole?" Mark asked.
"Yes, sir."
"That looks a bit too small, huh?" he said back.
"Nah, it's wide enough to get through, and I was able to go in and get out from the same hole."
"I'm honestly not sure about this," Mark said.
"Just follow me, and we'll be at the birth canal before you know it."
For those of you who don't know, in Splunking, the term birth canal is used where there's a small tunnel that eventually opens up into a spacious area. "And you're sure this will work?" Mark asked.
"Of course, my friend. I know it looks scary, but it's safe. All there is this lip. Once you get your feet inside, all you need to do is let the air out of your lungs to get your ribs over that lip, and that's it."
Okay, yeah, just a little nervous because I've never been down this specific hole before, so, you know what? First time jitters, let's just do this. Caveman shoved his pack into the hole in the side of the wall and got on his hands and knees and started crawling in. As soon as his feet disappeared, Matt went in second. It was me third, and then Mark fourth. We had this rule where if you were scared to enter a cave system, you would go second to last. The reason for that is because if you get stuck and you feel like you're gonna freak out, the two in front of you can continue going out and then eventually turn back in and help you get out. Or the one behind you can shimmy themselves out and pull you out as well. So it was Caveman, Matt, myself, Mark, and Jamie. We had to shimmy a good way, and we were kind of, to say that we were army crawling is putting it a little bit too much. Like, that's implying that we had enough room to do that. We legitimately had to shimmy, and we just honestly used our feet to help us get through this cave. We had to kind of use our toes to help us push, and it was this really awkward and uncomfortable thing, but the payoff is always great. So we were going, and yes, just like Caveman said, once you kind of have your feet go all the way inside the wall, you start to hit this lip where the hole goes from a diagonal hole to a almost straight down plummet. So we had to let all the air out of our lungs and get our rib cage over that lip, and then we were able to shimmy ourselves down until we were able to get out of the actual hole. And we had to do this for about 20 minutes, but once we got out, it was glorious, absolutely wonderful. Once we kind of touched down on the inside of the caves, it was really beautiful. There was enough room and we were actually able to walk the caves side by side. "Huh, that's weird," Jamie said. "What's up?" Matt asked. "It's just a lot of sand. Like, it almost looks like a trail. Or what do you think?" Jamie asked. "Jamie, you're in a cave. Sand is normal. You're too excited and overthinking again." Yeah, you're right," Jamie replied. As we were walking, something made Jamie stop in her place. We looked at Jamie and looked at what she was looking at. "Is that a plant?" she said. She walked on over to it, crouched down, and picked it up. "What's the big deal about the plant? We're in nature," Mark said. "Mark, how'd it get down here? There's no wind to carry the spores here. That's impossible. What if it was just here already? Jamie looked at him. Then why is it dead? This plant being here tells me that there's probably more plants down here. I mean, it's not that big of a surprise, is it? Mark asked. Mark, think about it like this. The entrance to this mine is 2 miles above the trees. So that means that if there were winds blowing spores around, that means it would have to go up 2 miles, specifically into this cave, specifically over to where the elevator shaft was, and down it, down this brand new hole that opened up, all the way over here, been planted a few months, sprouted a little bit, and then died.
Yes, it's a beautiful plant. It looks like mugwort to me. It's dead though, so why don't we just keep moving?
I saw Jamie take out a clear mason jar out of her pack and put the plant in before putting it back in her pack. We got up and we kept walking. We were walking for about 20 minutes and it was, again, a really beautiful cave. Plus the sand was a nice change of pace from the usual rubble we have to kind of walk around. So it was nice being able to actually just enjoy this cave to its fullest. What the hell? Jamie asked. What's up, Jamie? I asked. Is that a brick? She said. What? Where? She extended her hand and pointed at it, and we all traced her hand with our lights and looked at it too, and sure enough, there it was. It was a small brick. It looked like it was really old. Just looking at it, we could tell it was made out of clay.
Wow, what do you know? Mark said.
How's there a brick down here, though? Jamie said as she grabbed it and examined it. Maybe it's just a square rock or something? I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibility, but I'm not sure. I'm just going to take it with me. I'll study it later.
You're going to take a brick with you? Matt jokingly said.
Yeah, to study it. Don't you want to know? Jamie replied.
No, leave it here!
Caveman, I know it's a little bit big, but it's okay. It'll fit, and even if I need to, I could just toss it against the wall and just make it smaller.
No!
Seeing Caveman get that angry out of nowhere kind of made us a little fearful. That was completely out of character, and nobody's seen him like that. But, Jamie said. Matt leaned in. Dude, if Caveman is telling you to leave it, maybe just leave it. I've never seen him like that before. Yeah, okay, Jamie said as she put down the brick.
Hey, I can go for some fresh air right about now, huh? How about you guys and girls?
Yeah. I guess we can come back later, Matt said.
Yeah, don't you want to get fresh air and get that wind on your skin?
We were all kind of reluctant, but we ultimately agreed to just come back later. For some reason, Caveman was acting a little weird, and it was kind of freaking us out. Like I said, it was out of character. We started walking, and we got pretty far. But before we can get to the exit... Okay, I'm sorry guys, but I need to eat something. I'm starving, Matt said.
Huh? Now? We're almost out of here. Come on.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Caveman. I'm kind of hungry too. But we're not too far from the entrance. Probably about 10 minutes away or something? Yeah, sorry, Caveman, Mark replied. Yeah, I'm kind of hungry too, I said. Caveman looked a little taken back.
Yeah, why not, huh? A nice little picnic amongst friends, huh?
We all put out our lunches and our water bottles and just started eating. After we were done, it was probably about 10 minutes that we were eating for, and we were just kind of talking and joking around and just kind of talking about the mines and stuff like that. We put our trash in our packs again, and we were about to head out.
Wait, did you hear that?
I asked. We listened for it again. Oh my god, is somebody down here? Matt asked. Dude, they may need help, Mark replied. At this point, I looked at Caveman to see what he was thinking, and he looked scared of something, and he was white-knuckle gripping the wall of the cave. I've never seen him so terrified of something. We followed the echoes and yelled for them to yell back at us so that we can find them better, and they did. Eventually, we came toe-to-toe with whoever was making that sound. It was a tall man, 6 feet tall, extremely pale skin. He had jet black hair that went past his shoulders, and he had translucent brown eyes, if you can believe that. They seemed to kind of glow in the dark. He wasn't wearing much clothing. He had a headband that looked like it was made out of hemp or some sort of cord. He had a vest on and pants that looked like they were made out of hide and leaves and sticks, and he was wearing shoes that looked like they were made out of hide as well. Dude, what the f-? Mark said. Oh my god, where'd he come from? Jamie asked. Don't hurt me, please, the man shrieked. We all took a second to scan this guy. What was he doing down here? Did he get lost down here? Where's his equipment, and why is he dressed like that? Down here it's kind of cold, so for him to be dressed like that is crazy. Hey man, we're not gonna hurt you. Are you okay? Matt asked. Please, help me find my tribe, the man said. Hey, calm down, calm down. What's your name? Jamie asked. My name is Imatola, the man said. Dude, how long have you been down here? Mark asked. I just got here. I don't know where I'm at. Where are my sheep? Where's my tribe? Amatella asked. What sheep? Matt asked. I was herding my family's sheep from the northern plains to the southern plains to get ready for winter. Wait, what? Jamie asked.
Hey, we gotta go, come on.
Caveman, calm down, we need to help him, Mark said sternly.
Grab him and let's go.
You've been acting weird, Caveman, what's going on? Jamie asked. Where are we? Amatella asked. Dude, do you really not know how you got here? Mark asked. The last thing I remember is herding my sheep with my father, and suddenly the sky turned orange. I heard loud horns from the sky, and suddenly I was blinded by your lights. Dude, what the... Jamie said. Wait, what's that? Jamie asked. We all listened. It sounded like it was running water. The last thing you want to hear in a confined space 2.5 miles below the ground is running water. We all started running back the way we came. I don't know if it was because Amatola's legs were just longer than ours, but he was able to book it right past us with no issue at all. Wait, hold up! Mark yelled at him. It's crazy because Amatola was able to move around as if he was able to see, even though he didn't have equipment and the area in front of him was dimmed by our lights, but still, the fact that he could maneuver so easily was absolutely insane. Keep going straight! There's an exit up ahead! Jamie yelled. Eventually, they hit a dead end. No. Where's the exit? We didn't turn any corners, Jamie said frantically.
This way!
Caveman ran down a path, and we all followed him. We kept running, and we eventually saw a small hole in the side of the wall. We knew that wasn't the one that we came through, but again, the rushing water really gave us no choice. So we ran, and we all took turns going through the hole. Jamie came last. But once we got out, we were able to take a breath of fresh air because the area we were in was extremely large. We couldn't see too well, but we could tell it was extremely large. The sound of rushing water stopped. Where'd that hole come from? We should have been able to get out the way we came through, Jamie said.
Just be grateful that the hole was there,
Caveman said. Dude, what's your deal? John said at Amidala. Deal? He said in confusion. Yeah, man, where'd you come from? John asked.
I came from the tribe of the Half-Walkers. The spirits are angry over the broken treaty with the people of this land.
What do you mean? Jamie asked.
Well, fa
is what we're called, Amatello said.
Guys, can we please focus on getting out of here?
Caveman's right. We need to find our way out, and then we can ask him all the questions we want, Jamie said.
We all agreed about it. We kept walking, and I don't know what the scarier thing was. The fact that the area we weren't walking in was completely alien to us, because we had no recollection of where east, west, north, or south was, and a compass wouldn't help us down here. Or the fact that we may not get out of here. I didn't know which one was scarier.
As we were walking, we heard a trickle of water, but the trickle of water was falling into a larger body of water. It was hard to hear, but we were able to hear it.
Where there's water, there's civilization, Jamie said.
We followed the sound of water down this stretch of cave, and eventually we did come out through an exit hole. There was this wide open area, and our lights weren't strong enough to illuminate everything, but we were able to see a bit of it. It looked like an old, abandoned underground city. There were fountains with running water still going through them. There were roads, homes made out of natural material, sculptures, pillars, staircases, walls with unknown writing on them, and areas where torches were once held at some point. It looked completely ancient and looked like people haven't been here for thousands of years. It looked to stretch on for miles and miles, but again, our lights couldn't really pick up anything.
What happened to my village? Amidala said. He started sobbing and fell to the ground. And all of us were just talking about, what is this? What could this possibly be?
Caveman, where do we go? Mark asked.
I saw Caveman whisper something to himself, but before I could ask what he said, we heard it.
Whatever that was, there were multiple of them, and we weren't here alone. It sounded like they were coming close to us.
Dude, what the f-
was that? Matt screamed.
Amatello
said, getting up.
We need to get out of here,
Jamie screamed.
Follow me,
Amatello screamed as he started running. Everybody followed him. He was running really fast and was actually starting to run faster than us.
Hold on, wait, we had to scream towards him. I know that there's a way out of here, just keep running, he responded back.
As we were running, the ground beneath our feet started to shake. Sound of deafening horns followed by a deafening voice.
Hurry, we're almost out of here, Amatola yelled frantically as we were running.
We saw a light at the end of the tunnel, and eventually it finally spat us out.
We were running and we embraced the sun as we came out of the drainage system next to where we parked the cars. We all fell down and we got up as fast as we could.
Wait, how do we end up here? This isn't right, Mark said.
Who cares, dude? Let's just get to the car, let's go, Matt said.
Where's Amatello? Jamie asked.
I don't know, we gotta go. He's probably okay, Matt said.
Amatello! Jamie screamed.
Matt pulled her. Let's go, hurry up!
Eventually, we got to the car, and we started up, and we just got out of there. We just booked it. To this day, none of us have gone back to Earthstar Cave, and I'm not sure if we're gonna go back.
nobody's heard from Caveman in over a year. Nobody's heard of Amatello in over a year. When we went back to review Jamie's footage on our GoPro, it was all just static. There was no audio, just static. As for the plant that she put in the mason jar, it was just an empty mason jar. No signs that there was ever anything in it. To this day, I still think about that underground city. I don't know where it came from or even how far down we actually were. But, and I know this sounds weird, but the entire time we were in that underground city, it felt intrusive in a way, as if we were experiencing something we were never meant to experience.